Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Deering. Today I'm joined by Claudia Hassong, the State Affairs Manager for Kansas Farm Bureau. Claudia, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Starting out here, I know everyone's favorite topic is the Kansas legislature. You spent a lot of time in Topeka this spring. What are some of the highlights from the regular session here that seems like it just concluded and we're about to have a special session as well?
Seems like it just wrapped up and we're already getting ready to head back, but we'll dig more into that later. Overall, really great session for Kansas Farm Bureau members. The legislature did a lot of work and we were lucky enough to be involved in a lot of great conversations. The first of those being, as you know, if you've been around any policy-related meetings with Kansas Farm Bureau lately, you've probably talked energy. That conversation continued at the legislature as well. Kansas Farm Bureau requested the introduction of a bill prohibiting eminent domain for the siting of solar energy generation equipment and panels. It went throughout the session, had hearings, got it into, passed both chambers unanimously, and then the governor signed into law. So great win there for landowners. It still allows producers, if they would like to engage in a solar contract, to do that, but just takes away that possibility of eminent domain. Very similar to the language in the statute that currently exists for wind turbines, now just applying that same language and statute to solar. Along the same lines of energy, we've been having this conversation related to compensation and cost allocation of transmission lines. So we introduced a bill beginning of the session requiring landowners to be compensated at 150% of fair market value when their land is taken through eminent domain for electric transmission lines. The bill didn't get a hearing, but overall, it really kickstarted the conversation on that cost allocation and what compensation to landowners should be. So we hope that this really continues to have that conversation as we think through who's paying for these transmission lines and what is the overall benefit to Kansas ratepayers and citizens for energy that's getting transported out of the state. So look forward to those conversations to continue. Second was tax relief, and we'll dig into that more a little bit later, but broad-based property tax relief was brought into the conversation. Kansas Farm Bureau is really appreciative of that. The legislature and Governor Kelly are still working on a compromise on tax relief, but Kansas Farm Bureau was really excited to see that broad-based property tax relief by reducing the statewide mill levy for K through 12 education. So this is an opportunity to provide all Kansans a property tax relief. So there are various proposals talked about throughout the session, ranging from half a mill to a 2 mill reduction. This was really the first time that broad-based property tax relief for all Kansans was debated in the legislature in numerous years. So really exciting for Farm Bureau members, and we'll continue to be involved in those conversations as they move forward. And then third, there were updates made to the Kansas Pesticide Act. These were updates made to get the Kansas Pesticide Act in accordance with EPA standards, and that bill has been signed into law. This bill was really important to agriculture producers because it keeps that primacy within the state of Kansas for Kansas pesticide regulation. It was really important to members that they get to continue working with the KDA instead of the EPA when it comes to pesticide regulations. So Kansas Farm Bureau worked with members through our Ag Advisory Committees to ensure the bill did not over-regulate farmers and ranchers while also maintaining the state primacy that is so important within Kansas. So the bill has been signed into law. So now we'll continue to work with KDA regulators on updating producers of the new guidelines. And we'll look for opportunities to partner on training and education opportunities and requirements that are now included within that new act. And then foreign ownership was debated a few times throughout the session. So Kansas Farm Bureau worked with legislators on various provisions curtailing foreign ownership of real estate. The legislature ultimately passed a bill that creates the Kansas Land and Military Installation Protection Act. So the bill would prohibit foreign principals from countries of concern from holding any interest in a certain real property within the state within 100 miles of a military installation. There are a few different proposals, but that's where the legislature ended up. Business groups and agriculture groups like Kansas Farm Bureau were successfully in previously amending the bill to allow businesses that are operating under the federal process with the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, so CFIUS, to maintain their operations within the state of Kansas if they have provided they have received clearance through the CFIUS process. There are numerous agriculture businesses in Kansas that provide benefit to farmers and ranchers through research and market opportunities that would have been forced to divest under the original bill. So we worked with some business groups and other agriculture organizations to make sure this bill does not have a negative impact on the agriculture industry and business communities within the state, but also trying to address national security issues that have surfaced. So that was passed at the very end of the veto session. The legislature sent it to the governor. She did veto it once the legislature is already adjourned. So that bill has been killed through that veto. There is an opportunity that they take it up in special session. But through interviews that we've seen with various legislative leaders, they don't anticipate bringing it back up. So likely to see foreign ownership continue into the 2025 legislative session. And then finally, there were a few other agriculture provisions that were included in various bundled bills, amending the definition of land devoted to agricultural use for property tax purposes to include properties that are registered agritourism facilities. So just ensuring that those facilities are classified as agriculture use and not commercial use. And then finally, prohibiting individual from making false statements to gain access to an animal or crop facility.
And on the Pesticide Act, I think an important thing to note there is that while Kansas Farm Bureau was supportive of that from the very beginning, adding the piece back in that farmers and ranchers could barter for spraying services was a key component left out of there, thanks to the work of Claudia and some of our other friends in the agriculture sector that was included in that, correct?
Yes, that was something we heard loud and clear from our ag advisories, that reinstating that barter language that allows producers to barter for services with fellow producers was extremely important to them. And we understand that spraying equipment is expensive. So if one producer can make that investment and through barter agreements with fellow producers can spread those costs out over more acres and in return get someone to help process his cattle or things like that, that's really important to our members. So that was something we heard loud and clear, and we're able to get amended back into the bill to make sure that barter language for services is still in there.
And Governor Kelly has called a special session, so you get to return to Topeka this summer, which I know is your favorite place to visit. This is specifically to address tax cuts that did not happen yet, although there have been several proposals out there. Can you kind of walk us through how we got to having a special session here? Was it June 18th that starts?
Yes, June 18th, all the legislators will be back in the Capitol working through tax relief. So kind of deja vu here. If you attended any legislative kickoffs, everyone went in saying my number one priority is tax relief. But they haven't quite got to a point that the governor and the legislature is comfortable with. But we are coming back June 18th to continue tax relief and kind of the very brief overview of how we got here. Throughout the session, the legislature and Governor Kelly have been going back and forth on various property tax packages that those combined a variety of tax cuts to income tax, Social Security tax, property tax, some other smaller tax proposals. A few of those proposals even received a remarkable unanimous support from the House, which is very rare. I may never see that again in my lobbying career. So there were some tax packages that legislatures were really fond of and really loved. But ultimately, between the House and the Senate and the governor, you got to get three bodies on board, and they just haven't found that match yet. When the legislature adjourned for the regular session of the 2024 legislative session, they sent a tax relief package to the governor. She vetoed that legislation. So lawmakers come back for veto session. They attempted to override that veto, but the Senate failed on that override veto by one vote, forcing the House and Senate tax conference committees to go back to the drawing board, start conversations again. And ultimately, they crafted a piece of legislation that both chambers passed. So they sent to the governor and the legislature adjourned sign and die, officially signaling the end of the 2024 legislative session. However, here we are today. The governor has vetoed that legislation, claiming it's unsustainable and just more expensive than she's comfortable with, and therefore requesting the legislature comes back on June 18th to continue to discuss tax relief and try to get to a little bit less expensive package that she can feel more comfortable with.
And what would Kansas Farm Bureau like to see in a tax cut package here next week when the legislature reconvenes?
As previously mentioned, Kansas Farm Bureau has been really supportive around the conversation of broad-based property tax relief for all Kansans. Kansas Farm Bureau joined a coalition of agriculture and business groups asking for the governor to consider a reduction in the statewide mill levy to 18 from the current 20. Property tax is really consistently something that we hear from our members that is something that they have to grapple with in their operations. While most of that property tax is levied at the local level, a reduction in the statewide mill levy is really an opportunity for the legislature and the governor to provide property tax relief to all Kansans. There's been overwhelming support for increasing the residential exemption and eliminating the income tax on Social Security. I would expect that to be incorporated into the final tax relief package, but Kansas Farm Bureau is really advocating and asking for a reduction of that statewide mill levy, and we would really like to see at least a reduction of 2 mills.
And one of the dangers of calling the legislature back into session is they are not bound to stay on a single topic. Any issues outside of tax cuts that they could revisit or even new ones pop up when they're back in session here next week?
Yes, yeah, certainly tax relief is definitely the main priority of legislators and the governor. It's the whole reason she called the special session. That will take up a majority of the time. There's always an opportunity for other issues to come back up. Towards the end of the veto session, regular session, there was some discussions around proposals to recruit the Chiefs to Kansas. As the Chiefs have been advertised that they're shopping around for a new stadium and maybe a new location, I guess there's an opportunity for Kansas to maybe try to recruit them. So maybe some talk around that, but I don't know if that will be real substantial. We'll be tracking that from afar, not weighing in there, so we'll see. Maybe that'll just be something to fill time while we're doing tax relief. But overall, those are really the two main issues that have surfaced from legislators as they head back into session of things they're wanting to discuss. It is an election year and the filing deadline has passed. So I think a lot of these folks are going to want to get in, do some tax relief, and get back to their districts to start campaigning and meeting with constituents. And hopefully being able to sell constituents about the good work they've done on tax relief.
I think that's it for my questions. Anything I haven't asked, anything that we should cover here for our listeners?
I did say it's an election year, so encourage you to get out and meet those legislators that are running. We've got the Congressional House up as well, so invite them to your County Farm Bureau meetings. Get involved with our Vote FBF. It's really important that we invite pro-agriculture candidates to the legislature and to D.C., so take the time. We wouldn't have the success in the legislative session if we didn't have the folks that you all provide feedback to our Vote FBF board and get the right people in those seats. So this is an extremely important year. We have both the House and the Senate up, so take some time, meet those individuals, and help us get pro-agriculture candidates elected into office.
That is State Affairs Manager Claudia Hassong. Claudia, thanks for coming on Inside Ag today.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for this episode of Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to give us a like and be sure to share with others.